Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone. A special word of welcome to our visitors and our guests. We're happy that you're here. And if you're visiting us for the first time, we hope you feel at home at St. Benedict's. It's great to have you. There was a truck driver who was taking a break from his long day driving. And he went into his favorite diner. And he sat down very quietly and chose a quiet spot, a booth. He ordered his favorite meal, a big porterhouse steak with mashed potatoes and vegetables and all that good stuff, gravy. And just when he was about to begin eating quietly, minding to himself, six motorcycle gangsters walk into the diner. I mean, they were tough. You know, they're the scruffy guys with the long hair. They look scary, they smell. And the leader of the gang, he walked up, when he saw that big steak, walked up to the truck driver. Give me that steak! Truck driver kind of looked at him, offered him the plate. The gangster proceeded to cut up the big steak into six pieces. And he grabbed it with his hand, each piece, and threw it at all his other gang members, who proceeded immediately to grab it, of course, and stick it in their mouth and began to chew it in the nastiest way. Hey, you! You don't mind that we took your steak? The man stayed quiet, didn't say anything. Would you believe it that just a few moments later he asked for the bill, paid the bill in full, and he walked out of the diner? And just when that happened, the big, tough gang leader turns to the waiter and says, look at that guy. He doesn't even talk. You notice, I tried to talk to him, he wouldn't even talk back to me. Wouldn't respond. So look at that guy. He didn't even defend himself. Didn't know how to defend himself. That's horrible. The waitress turns to them and says, yeah, you know what? And he doesn't know how to drive very well either, because he just ran over those six beautiful motorcycles that were outside. Now, of course, when we hear that story, immediately in our hearts and in our minds, we think, retaliation. That's good. They deserved it. Nasty gang. But isn't it interesting how the Jesus way is so different than our way? Isn't it interesting how Jesus is speaking to the people of his time and telling them that it was not enough to follow the law? See, we think of the law, we think of the Old Testament, and right away we think, oh yeah, isn't that where Moses got 10 commandments? He went up to the top, he got the tablets. Well, I gotta tell you something. That's our Christian vision of the world. But if you think of the Jewish vision of the world, they didn't have just 10 commandments. Today you heard from Leviticus, didn't you? And if you look at the first 5 books of the Old Testament, what our Jewish brothers and sisters revere as the Torah, right? The first 5 books of the Old Testament have 613 commandments. Listen to me carefully. 613 commandments. Not 10. So Jesus was speaking to a people that had great reverence for the law. Jesus was speaking to a people that were very much concerned with keeping the law and keeping the rituals. You've heard Jesus in other parts of the New Testament speak about how the Jews wrapped their hands and they widened their phylacteries and they said their prayers in the temple and they wanted it just right. And Jesus today in the gospel says, you know, you've heard an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I'm telling you, you can't get away with that. You can't hate your enemies. You must love and pray for your enemies. You must love one another. See, that is the Jesus way. The Jesus way is not our way. Think about it. Who likes to get slapped on one cheek and then offer the other one? Who likes it? Raise your hand. Yeah, nobody likes it. So, matter of fact, my 4.5-year-old little Albert is now going through that stage in life where we're trying, his mom and I are trying to explain to him that when he gets pinched or mistreated in any way by one of his classmates on the playground, he can't just grab his fist and punch him back. He's got to go to the teacher and say, teacher, this happened. He doesn't understand why he can't just kind of go like this and go, Rick, give it right back to him. See, our human instinct tells us, give it right back. They're bullying you. They're bothering you. They're persecuting you. Just give it right back. That's not the Jesus way. So, matter of fact, my friends, and you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. Jesus complicates everything. Because Jesus says, wait a minute. If you really want to follow God's way, you've got to step it up. You've got to be better than that. That last phrase in today's gospel really worries us, doesn't it? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I know that there are some people who consider themselves perfect, but I've got news for you. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We all fall short. As a matter of fact, I love it because in a Christian blog, I was looking for this gospel and I found, you know those population signs where you have these little towns in Georgia and throughout our country, there's these beautiful little towns and it says, you know, Oklahoma, you know, East or whatever, there's a little sign and it says population 505, right? I saw this Christian blog. I loved it. It was a sign, you know, like a street sign that announces you're going into a new city. And it said, perfection, population, zero. The fact is, none of us are perfect. We all fall short. And Jesus knows that. But when Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, what is he saying to us? Because when we hear the word perfect, we hear something else. You know, yesterday evening I was driving into my usual parking spot over here, you know, next to the parish office. And my parking spot is right next to the senior warden's. And the senior warden has a really nice car, you know, really nice car. He really does. But as I looked at his car, oh my God, it was impeccable. I'm saying, how did Winston get from Sunrise to Plantation? Did someone carry the car for him? There wasn't a speck of dust on the tires. The wheels were perfect. I was looking at the wheels. They were sparkling. It was like almost like something you could put in a magazine, right? Like they were getting this car ready for a photo shoot, right? And I'm looking at this beautiful car with the beautiful rims, and everything's perfect, and the tires are shiny. I mean, shiny as can be. And I'm looking at my car, and I'm thinking, oh, the wheels of my car don't look like that. I mean, Winston's car is always clean. But, you know, I have three little kids. You know, or two little kids and a big one. And they all mess up my car. But when I looked at Winston's car, I thought, man, it's perfect. And we have a tendency to think of perfect that way, right? Perfect means everything tidy. Everything, like if it has to do with the way a person dresses, everything in its place, everything very nice, perfect, clean, perfect, perfect, perfect. But when Jesus says perfect, he's not talking about a physical reality. That would be too easy. be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect means strive to be God-like. Strive to be like Jesus in your attitudes, in your love for each other. To be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect means to try to live a Christ life like with everything you've got. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. It means to really seek to follow the Jesus way. See, and the way of Jesus is so different than our way because it's going beyond your personal instinct. I get hurt, I hurt back. Someone does something to me, then I must do the same thing back. Human justice is nothing like divine justice. I always like to say, thank God that God is God. Listen to me carefully. Thank God that God is God. Because if we were God, we'd really be messed up. We have a way of judging things that is not God-like. And that's why our vision is not perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect. Because you know when we begin to be perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect? When we are motivated by love, by pure love. And when we're motivated by love, we're able to put aside people's imperfections. We're able to put aside people's shortcomings. We're able to look at the good in everyone, and we're able to go beyond our own selfish views of the world. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. That's demanding. And remember that Jesus was saying this, not to us who live in this comfortable 21st century world. Jesus was saying this to people who believed that there were 613 commandments that they had to follow in order to be good Jews, good faithful people of God, and that if they did not live according to those 613 commandments, that they were falling short. And now Jesus says to us, Christians in the 21st century, what are you doing to follow the way of God? Are you living Christ-like lives? Are you trying to make the gospel the most important norm of your life? Is this message of loving God and neighbor as Jesus taught us, is this message taking root in your hearts and in your minds? Because if it is, it changes everything. The way we see each other, the way we see ourselves, the way we experience God, God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, the way we understand forgiveness and redemption. Do you know how much time we waste trying to get other people to think the way we think? Think about it. I've told you about the mother that comes to me very worried about her son. I've told you that story, you know? It's that mother that comes with that face, that angst, you know, that face of concern and worry. Oh, Father, because my son, you know, he doesn't go to church and, you know, doesn't do what I want him to do. And, oh, my God, and my son and this and that. And I say, lady, how old is your son? Oh, he's 55. And then I feel like saying, lady, get off the cross. We need the wood, you know? You're suffering about something that you can't change. But we're like that as human beings. We have this tendency to think that other people are going to think the way we think. If we just keep pushing it, somehow they're going to get there. And that's not what we're called to do. That's not what Jesus is asking of us. What Jesus is asking of us is love them anyway. See, the Jesus way is not about getting you to think the way I think or getting you to understand things the way I understand them. The Jesus way is about I love you and accept you unconditionally, and I love you and I accept you even if I don't always agree with you, and I love you and I accept you just because, you know, we're all God's children and we're in this together. You know what the problem is? I'll tell you the problem. We don't pray our faith. I'm going to repeat that. We don't pray our faith. We know what we believe. And we know what we're supposed to do, but we don't pray our faith enough. We don't take it to prayer. We don't take it to prayer. We have a series of ideas in our head that we know are right, that we're supposed to follow, but they never go from the head to the heart. We don't pray our faith enough. And in order to follow the Jesus way, we must pray our faith. What I mean by that is, what we believe and are convinced about, we must take to prayer. Because only when we take it to prayer does God begin to work in us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our entire being, in a way that changes our attitudes. And then we're able to understand that our mission is to love. And that ultimately, turning the other cheek is not about being a fool. I remember when I was a young priest, I was 22 years ago or so, I was 25 pounds lighter. And maybe the reason for that is I was always running around. You know, I ran around at twice the speed I do now. And I lived in a rectory with a priest that was a missionary in Africa, an Irish priest. And the Irish priest would see me running around with the kids. I did a lot of youth ministry at that time. I did this, I did that. I was involved in 25,000 things in the diocese. I was running all over the place. And I remember that missionary priest, Father Harry Mullen, God rest his soul, great guy, he said, "Halbert, be a fool for Christ. But for Christ's sake, don't be a fool." That's my Cuban-Irish brogue, whatever. But I say it because it's true. We are called to be fools for Christ. We are. But we're not called to be fools. The gospel doesn't give you an invitation to allow for abuse, mistreatment. Some people think they can abuse you in the name of God. Well, because I'm right. No. If you don't do things with love, you're wrong. You're always wrong. If you don't correct others with love, you're wrong. Even if you think you have the truth on your side, if you don't do it with love, you're not doing it the Jesus way. So remember, no matter how many verses of scripture you quote, no matter how much Bible thumping you do, no matter what a good keeper of the law you think you are, you are called to love first, because that's the Jesus way. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.